Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
En la obra, el tiempo vale oro. Por eso en Lowe's tenemos ProBlock Quick Dry Primer hecho por Sherwin-Williams. Diseñado para los pros con aplicación uniforme, tiempos de secado rápido y resultados impecables. Disponible en base de aceite o agua. Ordena en línea antes de las 2 p.m. y recibe entrega gratis el mismo día. Lowe's. Nosotros ayudamos. Tú ahorras. Pedidos hechos después de las 2 p.m. se entregan al día siguiente. Válido en códigos postales selectos. Sujeto a disponibilidad de conductores. Aplican más términos.
Ring Business puts you in control with protection that's flexible, secure, and easy to set up. And with no long-term contracts required, you can change your setup whenever your business needs change. Protect your business with powerful features designed to keep you in complete control. Get round-the-clock audio-video recording for non-stop protection. Stop scrolling through hours of footage. Find almost any events efficiently with AI search. Keep an eye on up to 4 camera feeds at once across all your locations for total peace of mind. Get trained security professionals to monitor your business around the clock and request emergency when needed. Ring Business is easy to install yourself or let our professional installers do it for you. With Ring keeping your business secure, you can focus on what matters most, running it. Ring Business, business security that works for you. Compatible subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. Visit the Ring Business page on r.com for more information.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Good morning, everybody.
There it is.
Happy Tuesday. Who stayed up for all 18 innings of Dodgers Blue Jays?
Thanks, I hate it.
If you said yes, I've got to imagine you're just waking up now.
No, I'm sitting right here.
Long game.
Long game.
Long game.
Long game. Unfortunate result.
Unfortunate result. Freddie Freeman, walk-off home run. He's now got that moment in a World Series in two straight years. Unbelievable.
Friday
18
was,
innings, though, for a World Series game.
Friday was so cool.
That is so good, though.
And now, unfortunately, it's already 2-1.
It's 2-1. They play again later tonight after finishing up earlier this morning. Game number 4, Dodgers, Blue Jays. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It's, of course, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We are on the Chiefs week for the Bills. How do we feel?
You sounded so enthused.
Man, I want to. I really do. It's weird coming off a 40-9 win against Carolina. You embarrassed them. Your defense played great. They had 7 sacks. Michael Hoyt looks like a difference maker. And it's not just the Ed Oliver injury that's deflating. It's really not. I think in many ways it's the fact that the offense is exactly what most people think it is, which is, man, James Cook's incredible. And somehow he is even better than he was last year. I think that's inarguable at this point. He is worth every penny to them, mainly because very quickly he's proven he is not irreplaceable. He is irreplaceable. He is not just a cog in a machine. He is a very much focal point of their offense. And without him, I don't know where they would be. But we heard yesterday, Sean McDermott, again, doesn't rest on the laurels of, guys, we won 40-9. My running back had 216 yards rushing. Like, why even go to the passing game? He shared many people's concerns. I think outright saying that your concerns are my concerns.
Almost. Actually, I won't even say almost. In full defiance of what the offensive coordinator said, which is, yeah, we ran for 240 total yards. We didn't need the passing game. We can totally bring it out whenever we want to. Look at Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't love that. Did not love that from Joe Brady.
No.
But it's also that Sean McDermott's comments are flying in the face of the offensive numbers right now. He is a little bit concerned. And it does look like there's a bit of an organizational disconnect from the head coach and at least the offensive coordinator. Maybe even, I don't know. Might even be front office. I don't know. It just
But it was interesting to see McDermott not take, I think, the road that would have been understandable, which is, guys, why are we even talking about the passing game?
And a road that he's previously traveled,
mm-hmm.
but he's not just singing that song. And this has been going on, though, for like the last month. That's the other thing. Ever since the offense has had a little bit of these turbulence issues, let's call them. Because statistically, they're fine when it comes to points per game, everything like that. You know, yards per play.
Expected points per game. They're fifth in the league.
So, there's a lot of stats that back up that the Bills' offense is fine. But turbulence, I think, is the right word for it. It's uncomfortable sometimes to deal with. And you think disaster might strike at any time. I think it's very interesting, though, that the head coach has been publicly stating it like this. It's fascinating to me. And it almost seems like the head coach wants things to be a little bit more aggressive in an air attack, which goes against the stereotype about him all along.
I think the stereotype, though, on him, and I'm glad you bring that up, I think it's always been somewhat of a fallacy, at least in the years where they've been very good. You want to go back to 17 when he first got there and 18, sure. I mean, you probably have an argument there. But since 2020, they've been very progressive in offense. They throw the ball a lot. They go for it on fourth down. McDermott, right. I mean, Sneaky Joe, last week made sure to go back to a tweet when they signed Emmanuel Sanders that he said, I don't want to lose our fastball when talking about the passing game. And he's made mention a lot that he made his career, he developed as a coach under Andy Reid. And so I've always kind of pushed back on that. I think it's a lot of like the Dan Campbell stuff. I think just Dan Campbell, though, people are more willing to forget the press conference and go to, well, actually, he's an intellectual, where it seems like people have been less willing to accept that McDermott is not just defense first, wants to win games running the ball. He mentions it. Like, yeah, you want to have a balanced offense. You want to be able to do everything. And I mentioned this on Sunday with Nate Geary on the overtime show. The best teams all want to run the ball. Detroit wants to. Green Bay wants to. Philadelphia wants to. The difference is they can all go to the pass. Philadelphia, a bit shaky on that front. Mm-hmm. But Detroit especially. Detroit has two guys they go to in the run game. Yet, when they want to, they can really open up a pass game. Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jameson Williams, Sam Laporta. Everybody eats. I know what that means. Every team does it if they can. If you're good enough, you do everybody eats because you've got enough talent and it's justifiable. I think where the Bills tried to sell it to everyone was that they did have enough talent and that they were going to just spread the wealth. I don't think they do. I think they've got some good pieces. Namely, yep. Dalton Kincaid. I think they have one great piece in James Cook. But past that, it's a real concern on offense. Jeremy was talking about it right when he was wrapping up his show. They lose Josh Palmer. The passing game goes to hell. The Chargers let Josh Palmer go. And if their tackles didn't get hurt, they've never had a problem.
I will say this, though. Ultimately, I do feel a little dirty, you know, having heavy complaints about an offense that, you know, in a game where they score 40 points. I feel dirty. I don't like that. However, I need to be completely honest if I'm going to be in any way critical of it. It's that it's boring. Boring does not mean bad.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, if you're running for 240 yards, you're controlling a lot of games.
And I've mentioned a lot, too, sometimes the most boring thing is actually the correct thing to do, namely with the draft and other stuff. But yeah.
But boring also, if I'm spending entertainment dollars to be entertained in something, I do not want that product to be boring. And I think that's where a lot of it's going to come from for me. It's not about, oh, I don't trust this Bills offense. No, it's just that it's not as entertaining. And that's not wrong to admit. It should be okay to admit if something is boring but effective. They can be both effective but also boring. It's a passing league. I want to see the team that has this alien freak of nature quarterback be passing the football. It's okay. It's okay to say. Could it come with the risk of interceptions and failed drives and stallouts? Yes. Two of three things that happen when you throw a pass are bad. But it doesn't mean that what they are good at needs to go away either. And that's this fine line that I'm trying to balance on right now. I'm on the balancing beam. I'm not very good at it. But I want to at least try to toe the line of where I am and where I want to be. But where I stand right now is, yeah, it feels weird talking about an offense after they put up a blowout win.
It does help, though. And I don't want to lean too much on Carolina, but it does help that the first half, they weren't very good. They weren't.
It was actually a lot uglier looking of a game, and that's where I stand on this. On the other hand of this, it's vanity for me, and that's perfectly fine for me to admit. Like, they're up 19-3, which is, you're in full control of the game, but good Lord, did you look like the Tennessee Titans, and I mean the ham sandwich, the variation that I hated for years. Oh, they also had a great running game, by the way. So that's, I think, where my disdain comes from, is that it's just boring, and that's okay for me to admit that. It's okay for you to admit it if you feel the same way. Just, I just don't want to hide it and disguise it as something else.
Right. You bring up the Tennessee Titans. Where I sit with this is always, it feels like, I know they're good. They've been good for a few years here.
Mm-hmm.
But when push comes to shove, do I trust that they can score? And we're not even bringing up the defense, which,
right.
I mean, you have the Ed Oliver injury. We'll see with some of the guys coming back. I mean, Harrison played a lot of snaps in his first action ever in the NFL. Great to see. Hoyt looked very good. So maybe the defense is starting to turn around. And if they make a move before next Tuesday's deadline, maybe that's really going to help the defense. And they can play kind of how they want to. I think that's been fair. We've talked to Sal about it a lot, mentioning the defense is not what they've wanted all year, mainly due to personnel and who they have available. But for the offense, the last 2 years, even with how bad that unit has been, the offense has had a chance to win the game, and they haven't been able to close the deal, in part because of their skill position players. There's a multitude of things here. And in part, there's a multitude of things here because they are a good team. But good teams don't win championships. Great teams do, and that's where you see the Chiefs and you see the Eagles, even the Rams from a few years ago when they really went all in. I don't think this Bills team is great. Truth be told, I don't think anyone in the AFC is great, maybe outside of Indianapolis, but we have to see if Daniel Jones is, you know, Baker Mayfield, or is he going to be more like Sam Darnold from last year, where by the end of the year, oh, okay, there's the warts. You know, all of that stuff laid bare right at the finish line.
And yet even Sam Darnold, that is just for that season where it ends ugly.
Mm-hmm.
Darnold's looked fine, just fine in Seattle, worth the contract.
Absolutely.
So I don't even think that's the way to look at it. I would say, is Daniel Jones Case Keenum, where there's one fantastic year in there.
Oh, yeah, no big year.
And how far do you go because of that? Because Keenum gets the Vikings to the NFC Championship round.
Mm-hmm.
I look at it more of there. Is it Case Keenum or is it, well, a Sam Darnold season? And I'm starting to become more and more convinced that it's more of the former. That he is good enough this year to get it done. Because he's not cost them a single game.
No.
The game that they lose, A.D. Mitchell wears
A.D. Mitchell costs
the dunce cap.
Oh, I'd still take him on the Bills.
Unfortunately, A.D. Mitchell's the one that wears the dunce cap on that game. Daniel Jones plays just fine. Yeah, he throws a late interception, but I do need to see the Colts off a script, though, which is I need to see them playing to come back. not playing with a lead.
Right. Daniel Jones, second half, he's down 7, 10, what have you. How does he look?
I need him down multiple scores in the third quarter.
I don't know if that's going to happen much this year. Jonathan Taylor is going to run away with Offensive Player of the Year. Did you see what he's on pace for? 29 touchdowns. I mean, he is having an LT31 touchdown, you know, record-breaking type year.
He's unbelievable. But teams can. And this is where the Colts roster, like, I'm actually going to challenge the fact that, like, there's no great teams in the AFC. No, I do think the Colts are for real. It's
been long enough.
It's time.
It's been long enough.
We're heading into week 9.
Listen to this.
They're
expected points contributed by the offense. They're number one. 143.89. Number two is Dallas at 109. They are just. They
if you even want to look machine. At something, if you want to look at something as simple as point differential, the Indianapolis Colts lead the league at +116. The second highest, oddly enough, the Bills are fourth. The New England Patriots at +67. That's second. Detroit and Buffalo, by the way, are the other two teams, because I wanted to bring that up there.
But
Excuse me, actually. Kansas City, thanks to Monday night's win.
Kansas City's got
is in
there.
Second. It's 83. It's a little more realistic at that point.
I think
but you're
we're
still
at a point.
30 points ahead of the second place team in point differential.
Yeah, I think we're at the point now. You can absolutely take Indianapolis for real. 2-3 weeks ago, I would have told you I'd happily go there in a playoff game because it's Daniel Jones. I don't really know about that anymore.
The Bills,
he's playing so darn well, and Jonathan Taylor looks like he's going to be the Offensive Player of the Year running away. I don't really want to play them. I really don't.
Honestly, it's also, I don't want to play New England in the postseason. They have the formula that can beat this current version or this season's version of the Buffalo Bills. But with the Bills being as flawed as they are, even sitting at 5-2, I think you could get away with saying that about pretty much any playoff team.
Mm-hmm.
Except for like maybe Pittsburgh and Jacksonville at the current standing. Actually, I don't know if Jacksonville's in there anymore. LA. The Chargers I'm not as worried about.
Mm-hmm.
The Chargers have a history of this. The Chargers will always have a history of this. Pittsburgh, I'm not afraid of any AFC North team, quite frankly. Whoever wins that god-awful division.
It's a bad division, yep.
It's a bad division. Pittsburgh's always been fraudulent. I've always said this. And here we are again. Can't wait for their inevitable wild card round loss. However, the Bills this time around, for the first time, I think in this era, this Bean McDermott Allen era.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Ring Business puts you in control with protection that's flexible, secure, and easy to set up. No long-term contracts required. Just security on your terms. Take control of your business security with Ring Business. Get 24/7 audio video recording to capture everything and look for specific moments efficiently with smart AI search. Install it easily yourself or let our pros do it for you. With Ring keeping your business secure, you can focus on what matters most, running it. Compatible subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. Visit the Ring Business page on r.com for more information.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
This podcast is brought to you by Kleenex Lotion Tissues. You can't predict sick days, but with Kleenex Lotion Tissues, you can be better prepared for them while helping keep your skin healthy. Whether it's a surprise sneeze or a stuffy nose, it's always good to have something gentle on hand. Kleenex Lotion Tissues moisturize to help prevent skin irritation while you're battling those unwanted cold and flu symptoms. It's extra care when you need it most. I mean, why not have one less thing to worry about when you're not feeling your best? For whatever happens next, grab Kleenex.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10-7 through 12-1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You're not going to fully convince me, but you can at least somewhat convince me that there could be a wild card round loss in there for them. The first time ever.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't doubt it at this point. Do I think that they are a better team against whoever they face in the wild card round? Probably. Depends on the matchup. And if they're on the road.
Well, right now they're the five, so they play Pittsburgh.
Oh my God. Next round, let's go.
Yeah.
Easily. But if you gave me a different draw, for example, I might go, I don't love that.
Denver? Say for argument's sake, Denver moves down to the four?
They could take Denver.
Okay.
There's varying degrees of confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Because I say the words exactly as they are. They can take mm-hmm. Denver.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean that they will. But say Kansas City's hosting them in the wild card round. Hello, darkness, my old friend. You better give it to him. The thing that you can convince me of is this team's not good enough to get to the Super Bowl. And I don't like admitting that.
At least not how currently constructed.
The only safe, safety net that the Bills have right now in this sort of discourse is the rest of the AFC looks mightily flawed.
Yeah, that's literally outside of Indianapolis, I would say. The AFC does not have a great team.
In a season of pile of garbage, you are at least part of the garbage.
Yeah. 803-0550, the number to call. I want to give your thoughts heading into Chiefs week. Well, we actually are in Chiefs week. It's Tuesday. Bills off today. They'll be back in action tomorrow for practice. We'll get our first injury reports as well. But the Chiefs did play last night, 28-7 win over Washington. And I'd argue they didn't play really good at all in the first half. We'll start off today with John on the line. John, how we doing, man?
Good morning, guys. How you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks for calling in.
I just got a couple things to touch on. First of all, being a diehard Yankee fan, never want Toronto to win a World Series mm-hmm. ever again. I'm not a Dodger fan, but I feel myself pulling for the Dodgers this year,
really?
Please.
Oh, okay. All right.
Definitely. Just couldn't take Toronto winning a World Series. That just pushes my team further and further.
I would say that's fair.
I'm
saying it as like a Dodgers hater. I'm like, really? No, AL East. I understand.
That's an AL East thing. I get it. I'm sad, but I get it.
I know. And as far as this week's game goes, with Palmer being out, and I don't know how long he's going to be out. Hopefully mm-hmm. not long, but I can see another James Cook game. I don't know how you guys feel. This guy is top 2-3 RBs in the league. And just use him for what he's worth, and I think this game, even though it's only the seventh or eighth game, I think it could easily dictate the rest of our season. Mm-hmm. And Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, let's face it, they see blood, they smell blood in the water when they play us, at least in the playoffs. But we seem to play very well in the regular season. This is a home game, and for what it's worth, I don't do a lot. I don't feel a lot about point spreads, but I don't ever remember being an underdog against the Chiefs at home. It's been a while, but that wasn't too nice to look at. I just want your guys' thoughts. Again, thank you. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thanks for the call, man. I'm tough with this game. I don't think the Bills will win. I'll flat out say that to start this week. I could change as the week goes on. I don't like how they're currently constructed. I agree, though, with the caller. It's going to have to be a James Cook game, and he could absolutely do that. That's the thing. Cook can actually take over a game. It is no longer that he is just a piece to a machine. He is a main focal point of what they do. I think absolutely right now you can argue he's one of the top three running backs in football. Literally, if it weren't for Jonathan Taylor having a LaDainian Tomlinson MVP-type season, I think Cook could add the argument of having the best season as a running back. He just had his career high in rushing yards with 216, and he could have had more. If Carolina puts up any kind of fight at all, he might actually push for some of OJ's records in a game. I think that's what it was. He passed one of Thurman's game in the 90s, and there was like three or four OJ games in the 70s. Like, it's one of the greatest rushing performances we've ever seen from a Buffalo Bill. He is that good. I just don't like going into a fight with the Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes relying on the running back to have to be the reason why you win. In part, it's injuries. As John pointed out, Josh Palmer is not in, and he probably won't play this week. Although McDermott did say everyone's trending, you know, in a positive direction. We'll see how that goes. We'll see about the injury report tomorrow. Some of those guys are limited. Maybe we'll see. But you're in a bad spot. I'm still waiting to see anything from Keon Coleman. And really, I think at this point, I think for many of us, it is just, I'd actually rather see less of him. I don't want him leading the team in wide receiver snaps like he did against Carolina. Some of that, though, I think more due to garbage time of just get him out there. He's going to go block. We're not really doing much. We need bodies.
And that's where the boring thing comes in. Because unfortunately, against explosive teams, boring does not always work either. Matter of fact, the Ravens tried to close out the game by being boring in week one against the Bills.
Yeah, most of the Bills' fourth quarter yards were actually considered garbage time
Until it wasn't. But sometimes boring will lose you a game.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are being too safe. And it is a component of the passing evolution of the NFL. How many times have I mentioned it? It's the too high era. That does not mean you cannot attack intermediately between 10 and 15 to 20 yards.
I mean, look at a lot of teams in the NFL.
A lot of teams are doing it. They're just fine. And I look over here at the Bills, and there is, again, either an outright refusal or an inability to do it. And I do not know which one is worse at this point. You either have an offensive coordinator who is just refusing to get on board, or you have an offense and roster that cannot get it done. Yeah,
that is incapable of doing
including
it.
Including decision-making from the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not go ahead and absolve Allen of any criticism here. If the passing attack's not looking good, there's one player who kind of has a central role in that. Yes, receivers do need to get open. This quarterback also has a tendency to not care if you're covered, if he can make the throw. And he's not doing that right now.
And he's missing guys that are wide open as well. Was it Elijah Moore?
It was Elijah Moore on that deep out.
Yep.
So.
I mean, I misses him by 4 or 5 yards.
Misses him.
And so, yeah, I mean, he's not playing well either. And that's a big part of this, too, is that if Allen was playing well, but we're all sitting here going, man, he's got to go superhero mode, though, to get the passing game going. That's one thing. It's the passing game in its entirety that is not really looking impressive at all. And it does start with the reigning MVP at quarterback.
Right.
We'll go back to the phones here. Mark is up next. Mark, how we doing?
Hey, guys. Put me on. You guys kind of just started touching on my point. Mm-hmm. Personally, I think Allen's hurt. I don't think it's a matter of something that has to go on the injury report. I think he's dealing with something that is nagging him because this offense isn't even trying, it feels like. Unless that swing pass to Shakir. And he's missing, like you just said, wide open throws. He missed Shavers on a simple slant route. It's so uncharacteristic. This guy was the MVP last year, and I think the coaches are doing what they can to protect him and just saying, you know, you can hide behind the 40 points this week, and why wouldn't you? I just think they're protecting their guy. And another thing, too, is normally when you blitz, elite quarterbacks like Mahomes, like Joe Burrow when he's healthy. When you blitz these guys, they make you pay. That's why teams stress being able, the ability to rush four pass rushers.
Mm-hmm.
And the guys are sending the house on Allen, and he's not doing anything with it. We are not making teams pay. This passing offense should not be this bad. I think it's all on the health of 17, and I hope they figure it out soon because I think they're running into a buzzsaw that they can't keep up with this Sunday. I pray to God I'm wrong, but thanks so much for having me on. I'm happy to listen to you guys.
Thanks for the call, Mark.
Mark, very interesting you bring up the blitzes because that's where I think Allen absolutely needs to be better. Quarterbacks do identify blitz schemes and concepts and where they have to be picked up. I think Steve Spagnuolo in the AFC Championship game uncovered a flaw, be it whether in the offense's dynamic or Allen's protection calls. Because the Bills all of a sudden don't look like they know how to protect the blitz proper. And the quarterback, at the end of the day, has to know that he's hot. He has to expect that there's a free rusher on protection schemes that are sending blitzes. Does the offense have the proper hot route connotated to it? That is something I don't know. Does the quarterback need to recognize that he is hot and he needs to get the ball out? Yes. That part, injury or not, that's a mental aspect of the game.
I do wonder, though, about the injury. I don't. He's played with injuries before.
He's played through injury.
Where
he played through one last year.
And like we all kind of know, like, all right, it's something up his elbow, shoulder.
He messed up his left arm hurtling over people in week one against Arizona.
I also wonder about his left hand, though. I think it was the Atlanta game where he clearly did something. It's not enough to get treatment, but it's probably something that's annoying him.
I don't know
if it's anything too major that in that sense.
It's also like not anything that I'm going on about Allen where it's mostly upstairs.
Yeah. Also, speaking of the blitz, they are now facing a team in Kansas City who blitz is the ninth highest blitz percentage. It's not Atlanta at 40.2%, but is the ninth highest at 26.5%.
Don't forget to join Roswell Park on Saturday, November 1st, as the Buffalo Sabres take on the Washington Capitals for Hockey Fights Cancer Night at KeyBank Center. Puck drops at 7 p.m., but arrive early to hear inspiring stories from Roswell Park's cancer patients and survivors, as well as watching the ceremonial puck drop. Every fan in attendance will receive a custom Sabres scarf. They will also be able to fill out placards in honor of somebody special to them as we come together to celebrate life and recognize somebody in our community touched by cancer. There are also ways to participate from home. You can support Roswell Park through the 50-50 raffle with a guaranteed $50,000 jackpot, as well as bid on exclusive items in the online auction starting at Puck Drop. Tickets are still available. Grab yours and learn more about the 50-50 raffle and auction now at roswellpark.org/hockeyfightscancer. I'm probably going to have to make sure I get to that game.
Mm-hmm.
You guys know I take part in the 11-day power play every year. It does mean a lot there. So hopefully we can see a lot of you out there on November 1st. For Sabres Capitals for Hockey Fights Cancer Night.
803-0550, the number to call. We do have a Sabres game tonight at home against Columbus. 6 p.m. pregame, a 6:45 start, as the entire league will be in action tonight. Some staggered starts. We'll get to your calls when we come back. Rob, Tim, Steve, and plenty more. When we come back, we'll get to you. Also, primetime players coming up at 11 o'clock. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, this is WGR.
Your frustration is my frustration, is my questions, and again, as a coaching staff, we work hard on, hey, let's go back to the drawing board and figure out, you know, what we can do to figure that piece of it out and make sure we can execute at a higher level.
Buffalo Bills head coach Sean McDermott yesterday meeting with the media, kind of continuing what he was saying, or at least in the vein of what he was saying in the post game, when one of the reporters, I don't know who, kind of mentioned, I guess, that, you know, you love to run the ball. He, again, in a game where they won 40-9 and his star running back had 216 yards, he made sure to preface, he never said he loves running the football. He does love physical football, which is fair. We all mentioned
those can be two different things.
They're very different things. You look at Cincinnati, like, it's great that they have all of these receivers, but their offensive line and defensive line are not very good. Where the Bills, really a lot of their success the last 2 years comes from their offensive line is so good at run blocking. Less so pass blocking this year, but very good last year. Yeah, established line of scrimmage. Usually is a good sign for a team, but he's kind of made sure to plant his flag, I would say, in a different spot than his OC. I will also say, though, I think much of Joe Brady, this is more my thoughts on this, I think this much of Joe Brady is good cop, bad cop. He's standing up for his guys. He doesn't want to go out there and go,
yes,
no one's getting open, guys. We cannot pass the ball. It would be very surprising if he said it. I think that's why we're talking so much about McDermott and what he says. It's quite surprising that he didn't take, I want to call it the easy route, but I could also kind of just say the correct route. You won 40-9. I don't think anyone's going to blame you to just ignore the pass game. Guys, we didn't need it. Look what James Cook did. Look at this. He might win Offensive Player of the Week.
Probably should.
Look at this shiny object over here. It was great.
And yet, that's where I think the evolution of Sean McDermott has come from for me. Over these years, he's been more candid. Because he used to be that guy too. Mm-hmm. Like, he would obviously call things out if they needed to be called out, but he would more or less just kind of be contentious on that sort of thing in the past as well.
Mm-hmm.
Not that Brady's being contentious, it's that that's what used to happen. Or at least he'd be quiet about it. He wouldn't say anything.
Right.
He wouldn't be as outwardly. That's where I'm more impressed with the head coach these days. He has looked like he has evolved. He does understand a little bit more, and he does seem to be growing in a different sense to a point where he understands that, yeah, there's an issue and I need to address this.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the thing that still is going to irritate me until my wits end, up until they play against Kansas City on Sunday, this is a long week for me. You want to know why? It's still on the heels of a 31-point win.
Right.
And I feel gross and weird.
Yeah.
Like that.
It should be the vibes are fixed. This is the best game, best performance right. they've had since the Jets game. Yeah.
What feeling did you have about that game that made you think, oh, they won by 31 points? I didn't get any of that energy from myself or from any, or not any, but like from a lot of people. Granted, yeah, social media is a hellscape that we all need to probably avoid at these points. Follow me at DerekKramer49. But at the same time, there was not a lot of like incredible positivity about this game that they won by 31 points. I should be talking about how the defense looks very good with defensive additions in the reinforcements from Hairston, Hoyt, and Ogunjobi. However, those vibes get harshed because Ed Oliver tore his bicep.
Mm-hmm.
He has 3 sacks in 3 games this year, and I lose my best defensive player again, this time probably for the rest of the regular season. They have to make the Super Bowl based on Ed Oliver's timeline that he projected. I don't even get him for the playoff push.
No. It's Aiden Hutchinson last year.
Bleep, bleepity, bleep, bleep, bleep. Like, that's my first thought on Oliver at that point. The defense got its best player back, and then they lose their best player. The guy who has superstar qualities to him, who's been playing like it in the games that he suited up for, including the 31 snaps he takes in a 40-9 butt whooping. And I lose him for the year. That's cruelty. None of us deserve this, especially Oliver. He's been playing great.
It seemed like he finally, all of it was hitting.
Everything that we were projecting about it, of the Bills added all these pieces to the defensive line, how's it going to help out Oliver? Oh, brother, was it helping out Oliver? Problem was, they barely got him.
Yeah. 803-0550, the number two call. Promise we get back to the phones. We'll do that right here and keep getting connected to our fans. When we do that, it's brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Tim is up next. Tim, how we doing, man?
Fellas, happy Chiefs week. I appreciate you having me on. I just wanted to throw a couple things at you real quick. I'm all on board for them adding a receiver at the deadline, as most people are.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think do you think it's likely that if the Bills do go big game hunting, and I don't pretend to know who's truly available and who's not, but do you think if they go big game hunting, it might ultimately have to have the other team, take Keon Coleman back in return? Do you think that that's something the Bills should do? I think it would take a lot for Brandon Bean to kind of punt this early on someone's career, but ultimately, like, this may be a hot take or not, but I really truly feel like we could probably replace his current production with somebody like Gabe Davis, and that makes me really sad to say. So that's my first point for you guys. I don't know what you guys' thoughts on that. Secondly, I watched that game last night, and I really truly think that the Chiefs just kind of lean a little bit too much on the backyard football out of script type of plays. And I want to see if you guys think that it would make sense for the Bills to approach this game as, hey, we're going to run the ball and can try to control the clock, but we want to dare you guys to also do the same. So maybe some light boxes, maybe like some NASCAR athlete packages on the defensive line, just to kind of keep Mahomes in check, kind of contained a little bit more rather than go big body anyway, especially with the loss of Ed Oliver. I was wondering if you guys think that they would attack it that way and just kind of dare the Chiefs to run on them. But And then also just my last point, and I'll let you guys talk. What do you guys think about the Bills potentially bringing in somebody, or at least just for a workout, like Christian Wilkins, just to kind of see what he has left in the tank? And I know it's more of a locker room thing with him, but just I think just kicking the tires on somebody like that might be a good thing for them to do. And thanks so much for taking my call, guys. Appreciate you.
Tim, thanks for calling in, man. Real quick on the big game hunting receiver thing, the reason why I don't think the Bills will do it is because they won't punt on everything they've kind of stuck their necks out for the whole year. I would be very surprised. That's more of a personal thing. Two, I don't think they have the money to go after somebody like a Chris Olave or a Jerry Jeudy. I think Jerry Jeudy might be a really interesting thought because he is doing nothing in Cleveland and seems to just be both kind of a head case himself, but also seemingly wasting away.
Also, second round rookie contracts are fairly cheap. Trading Keon Coleman does nothing in terms of your books and how you have to cook them. Elijah Moore is making more than Keon Coleman.
Yeah.
It's basically the long way of me saying that. They have 2.56 million.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Ring Business puts you in control with protection that's flexible, secure, and easy to set up. No long-term contracts required, just security on your terms. Take control of your business security with Ring Business. Get 24/7 audio video recording to capture everything and look for specific moments efficiently with smart AI search. Install it easily yourself or let our pros do it for you. With Ring keeping your business secure, you can focus on what matters most. Running it. Compatible subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. Visit the Ring business page on r.com for more information.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus from Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them, and you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
This podcast is brought to you by Kleenex Lotion Tissues. You can't predict sick days, but with Kleenex Lotion Tissues, you can be better prepared for them while helping keep your skin healthy. Whether it's a surprise sneeze or a stuffy nose, it's always good to have something gentle on hand. Kleenex Lotion Tissues moisturize to help prevent skin irritation while you're battling those unwanted cold and flu symptoms. It's extra care when you need it most. I mean, why not have one less thing to worry about when you're not feeling your best? For whatever happens next, grab Kleenex.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
$1 million of cap space available. They don't have the ammunition in the cap space to go big game hunting. You can't even flip a talented, like a prospect type type thing like Keon Coleman because he's
doesn't making, really help you
because he's only making 2.2.
It doesn't really help you at all.
He's making close to 2.3. That's it. So what? That gives me $5 million of cap space. What's that get me? A contract less valuable than Curtis Samuels. That's the name you need to look at for a player. Like, ready? You're probably paying picks to get rid of that contract in terms of a trade for a wide receiver. You have to.
Yeah.
It's the $9 million cap hit of Curtis Samuel that's kind of holding you back from adding more wide receiver.
We mentioned that before the season started of you're paying teams to take that contract if they were going to move on from it training camp. They obviously never did.
And it turns
I will mention, too, on the Chiefs as well. Yeah. I don't really think the Chiefs looked that impressive last night. The problem is I didn't think the Bills looked that impressive in their win either. It was one player really doing a lot of work and Andy Dalton really doing a disservice to his team at quarterback. It was really the story of two players, James Cook on the Bills and Andy Dalton on Carolina. The Chiefs, though, yeah, it was a lot of Mahomes off script. I think, though, Rashee Rice is a problem. I think Worthy stretches the defense. But to the caller's point, more athletes and speed. Bills played that game against Carolina, and it was exciting to see Hancock come in on third down in passing situations at safety. Max Harrison getting a good run at cornerback in his first game action. Michael Hoyt being brought back. Those flat out are some of your better athletes on your defense.
The reinforcements have arrived, and I think that's the right way to look at it. The only problem with backyard football and defending it is there's somebody that's always going to be open at some point.
And Mahomes is great at backyard football.
But also, that makes it more important than ever for whoever's going to come in here at the defensive line position. Get home. You have to get home. You cannot predicate on blitzing. You have to make sure that the four guys are getting home and they're doing it responsibly. You have to make sure that your linebackers are healthy. Milano and Bernard do not play in that game against Carolina. Bernard, active, but doesn't really play.
Mm-hmm.
And he was questionable to go to that game anyway.
Yeah.
I don't think that it's going to work as well if you have to play a linebacking core of Shaq Thompson and Joe Andreessen. It's not going to go as well. You need Milano and Bernard healthy, and if not, well, you have to fight through it anyway. We'll see what happens. I'm not doom and gloom about this game because I feel like the Bills still can beat the Chiefs. The Chiefs have been heavily flawed this year. They've lost games that they've had no business losing as well. Matter of fact, Kansas City's third in their division. Take that.
Yeah.
Which has more of an indictment on the East than anything else.
The Chargers also still have that tiebreaker, even how shaky they've been.
Right. The Bills are just a game, well, half a game. One and a half games back, I guess, is the way to say it, because New England does have the head-to-head. But Kansas City's not out of this either.
No.
They lose. Guess who's out of the playoff picture?
Well, yeah, right now, let me grab that if I can. They are the 17th, yeah.
Yeah. If they lose, they're out of the playoff picture. The Bills, still sitting at 5-3, could be in it at the end of the day. I don't want to look at the other side of the coin.
And it depends on Jacksonville. I mean, if we're just
weirdly
end
enough,
of the day, it depends on Jacksonville.
And those are words I didn't think I would ever envision myself saying.
Yeah. Also, on the Christian Wilkins idea, he might be desperate enough. I know it's a bit of a locker room thing. I know he's got his history with Allen and whatever caused him to get released by the Raiders. He might be desperate enough.
You might be desperate enough, but also, ultimately, with what money?
Yeah. 803-0550, the number to call. If you're on hold, we'll get to you when we come back. Also, primetime players coming up at 11 o'clock. Fun weekend of sports across the landscape of sports, not just the NFL, so that should be a good time. Stay with us. You're listening to WGR. Listen for your chance to win two tickets to see Eric Church with a special guest, Ella Langley, at KeyBank Center on February 13th, courtesy of Messina Touring Group. Tickets go on sale Friday, October 3rd at 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster.com. Hour number one rolling along here, Zach Jones and Derek Kramer. Extra Point Show on a Tuesday morning. It's sunny. It was very cold this morning. But you know what?
It's late October.
I know. And that means it's soup season. I had soup yesterday for lunch.
Like,
thrilled.
I was wondering if you were hitting the complaint on it being
soup
cold
season
this morning. And I'm like, it's October 28th. I don't know what to tell you at that point.
Oh, I know, right? But it's soup season. My brother sent me a picture of him making stew yesterday. And I'm like, yeah, baby.
Or, there we go. Or it's also pasta time.
Pasta time, absolutely. 803-0550, the number to call. We go back to the phones. Steve is with us next up. Steve, how we doing, man?
Hey, guys. I just want to say you guys in general do a really good job.
Thank you.
Kind of taking some of the funk out of the air a little bit. You know, you're positive and upbeat, and you guys always tell it how it really is.
I mean, it's more my tone. I'm pretty negative.
Hey, man.
Thank you, though.
Well, yeah, no, you are, but I'm more than willing to pull up the proverbial couch, and we can get through it together.
Well, you know, I guess my big thing is just – everyone is so in love with this vision of what they have with this team used to be. And I mean, everything they've done in their build and, you know, since Joe Brady has took over and even as it transitioned from Dorsey is less excitement, pound the ball down your face, run, pass on third and four if we get there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have, like, you know, I was thinking, when was the last time Allen hurdled anybody or just got to the, you know, to the bottom of his drop and he didn't wait for someone to get uncovered and he just booked and went, where it's, you know, seven Josh Allen rushes, but it's, you know, he's not seeing anybody open and he just
goes,
hits that back foot and goes. And it looks so completely different. And I almost feel that, you know, without Josh Allen, like with that severe threat that he is just going to sprint through you, this passing game is going to have even more trouble opening up, especially with Palmer out. It's almost like these defenders have to sell out to, you know, we got to keep an eye on Josh because he just is not torching us. So,
right. No,
that's Steve, what I'm most concerned about.
Yeah, I think you're spot on with that, too. I know a lot of people brought that up. It's been a little while. I think there's both a longevity to it of, we're good enough to we're gonna be in the dance, right? And that's the name of the ball game. Get to the dance and see where
get your
chips
foot in
fall.
The door and see what happens inside.
But also, like, yeah, what's the most threatening thing for a defender playing Josh Allen? When that dude rolls right.
Yeah.
It, like when he starts to roll right, you're like, I don't know if he's going, I don't know if he's throwing it, I'm scared. And you try to make a play. Yeah, it at times doesn't feel like he's doing that. I mean, this also goes back to the mental aspect, too. It has felt like a lot this year, too. He's booking late. He's deciding to go a second or two too late where a defender's already right there on him.
And
you don't have that moment of, oh, here we go. And he's also left, I think, some pretty clean pockets. And, you know, you've had some moments where I know people go back to the New England game where he misses. I can't remember the receiver, but they're in the corner of the end zone. Mm-hmm. But he bails out. By the way, I know the safety only leaves when Allen starts to roll out. So he's not really open. The safety's right there.
So it all comes down to one thing. You mentioned it. He's leaving pockets late. He's leaving them early. It's timing. And it's covered sacks.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that's what that is. And that is where there is an issue with this team. Be it the ability of the receivers or the scheme going on down the field, it's not working. Everyone looked at the dots of the Scorton sack, where Allen ends up getting sacked at the 30-yard line in the first half. And it's just really bad, unfortunate, terrible football play. Nobody's open. And by the time that Ty Johnson over there on the offensive right is available, Josh Allen has looked at his left and sees Derrick Brown coming at him. Mm-hmm. And he has to get out of there. It also might be more responsible rushing going on by a defense. Make sure not to let him go to his right.
And they don't have the receivers to threaten you that if you're
playing a contained type rush, the receivers need to be able to get open and get open fast. And again, it's just tough to watch, even when they're winning, because it's kind of boring. Like, three of Allen's completions are Shakir screens.
Yep. That's what they ran a lot on Sunday. Again, they didn't necessarily need the passing game to win on Sunday.
A quarter of his completions. He was 12 of 19.
Yeah, but we've been seeing this. I mean, you mentioned it's been about a month. We've been seeing the pass game really struggle. And we got the OC going back to the fourth quarter of week one when Baltimore was playing prevent defense, and most of that was considered garbage time until it wasn't. 803-0550, the number to call. If you're on hold, stay there. But coming up next, we've got our primetime performers. It was a great week in sports. We'll get to our top five performers when we come back. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive X Point Show on WGR. Our number two rolls along here on a Tuesday. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer hanging with you here. Sabres play tonight. Right. Everyone in the NHL actually plays tonight. Sabres, though, a little bit of a weird time.
Playing puck on a Tuesday.
What is it? What are they calling it? The frozen frenzy?
Frozen frenzy. And yes, they needed. I'm going to share the same sentiment that Jeremy had in the last hour. Jeremy White saying that they should do this more than just on a random Tuesday. Like, get some Friday nights.
Right.
Or Saturday nights that you do this again. Do it again. Do it when people are going to be wanting to watch.
They can't do it next Tuesday, though. Maction starts then. So
I might. I don't know.
Now I'm just go to Wednesday. Just go to Wednesday.
Look, this is the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. I'm Derek Kramer. He's Zach Jones. I don't know what to do with him at sometimes.
Maction starts
then.
Next Monday. College basketball starts, so I'm busy that night.
I don't know what to do with you
Wednesday.
Sometimes.
Wednesday.
And that's perfectly fine.
Tonight, though, As mentioned, every team plays in the NHL. Sabres are at 6:45 home against the Columbus Blue Jackets. Pre-game, though, still going to start at 6 with Schoep and the Bulldog. The night, though, will start at 6. Flyers, Penguins, and Flames, Maple Leafs. And it will go all the way to the end of the evening at 11 p.m. Sharks going to host the Kings. It is everybody in action. I do love this kind of stuff. I need to know if there's going to be a channel where I can go to real quick and just get up like a bunch of highlights, like if they're going to do a sort of red zone channel. Because if not, they should.
And ready? They probably don't.
They probably don't.
Because it's all on ESPN and ESPN Plus, from what I'm seeing here.
Mm.
And yeah, I don't.
Tonight's Sabres game, though, is on MSG. It's not. It's not.
Yeah,
it is also
on ESPN Plus, but it is an MSG game. Yep. But like, the thing is that like, yeah, I don't know what you're like. Have that channel. Have that channel where things are happening, where you're just playing highlights, because hockey is fluid enough of a game that you can get away with just playing highlights.
Yeah.
And having fun that way, and like showing all the goals and the plays and the sequences, the hits, the pattern. There's so, and with every game going on.
Yeah.
You can go in live to some feeds, and then you can cut out and go to different ones. It's not that hard to have a central control for hockey. But as of late, when can I trust ESPN to do the right thing?
That's right. 803-0550, the number two call. We did promise it. It is the 11 o'clock hour. And with that is our primetime performers time. Top five performances from the last week or so, the weekend especially. We've been doing this really since the start of football season. But with now almost every major sport into its seasons, we got the NBA going last week and all of that. We are now full go. It is not just NFL players. We are going across the board. We'll start, though, with our honorable mentions. And I am going to start with football, Derek.
Okay.
Green Bay Packers quarterback Jordan Love. Great game from him. 360 and three touchdowns. The Packers are, what, 5-1-1?
I have
they him are really
a
good.
Lot higher on my list yep. than an honorable mention.
I have him as an honorable mention. I mentioned it. There was a lot in sports that I kind of wanted to play with a little bit here. But Love has looked great. I envy Packers fans in many ways. The fact that if you were born in like 89, you have yet to see a bad quarterback play for your team outside of a backup having to go in because it's week 16 or 17 and who cares?
Matt Flynn.
And even then you got Matt Flynn. Against
yeah, Matt
the Detroit
Flynn earned
Lions.
A contract and totally messed with the Seahawks if not for the drafting of Russell Wilson. He yeah. could have messed with the Seahawks.
I envy Packers fans in many respects with that, where it's just you literally went from Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, and now even if he's the Jeff Garcia to your 49ers run here, Jordan Love is still a baller. And he fits what the Packers do, which is athletic, strong-arm quarterbacks that are going to make which level throws.
So first honorable mention, I'm going to go to the rinks, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And for this, I'm going with Trevor Zegras getting the Flyers into the win column, and he factors on every point that they score. 2 goals, 1 assist, and a 4-3 shootout win. Guess what he does in the shootout? He scores the first goal on that one as well. So Trevor Zegras getting the honorable mention there for the Flyers, who have kind of looked all right. The Islanders, too, by the way. Both of them were 4-3-1 after the night.
Disgusting.
And we'll see what both of those teams are able to do. The Metro's a lot more balanced this year than the Atlantic is.
It's better than the Atlantic.
It's better than the Atlantic, yeah. But both of those teams, 4-3-1. Trevor Zegras, though, getting my first honorable mention.
As mentioned, I'm going all the way back to the weekend as well. Addison Barger, game one, Grand Slam. Watching,
let's share this. Let's talk about this.
Watching that game live with Joe Calley as well, with you, Derek, with Josh Schmidt.
Yeah, all three of us on this show were hanging out with Josh Schmidt.
We all hung out, watched that game, and when that happened, that was electric. Really, that entire inning was just a fever dream. The Sabres had played well. They won. Then we go to the Blue Jays game, and the Barger Grand Slam. You're like, oh my God.
Vibes could not have been better than
incredible.
That moment right there.
Incredible.
And, yeah, no, Barger is worthy of honorable mention because of that. And a Grand Slam, the first one of a pinch-hit Grand Slam, in World Series history. So to be one of one is already awesome enough. To be 4 of the 9-run sixth inning is also another thing. To think that that's technically not even half of the work that they did in that inning is also incredible stuff. Unfortunately for the Jays, it has not looked as good for the last two games. Staying on the honorable mentions, I've got Drake May. Drake May is starting to become a consistent factor here, and I hate it. I don't know how he's this low on the MVP odds. As a matter of fact, get Josh Allen out of there.
No, right. I no disrespect, but no, not this year.
Hang on. No. Ready? No disrespect to Josh Allen, but all disrespect to voters and odds makers.
Still pushing that?
I don't know what you're doing right now. Like, voters probably aren't even saying that. Odds makers, get them out of there. You're making people waste their money, and shame on you. Do you have more on your honorable mentions list, or should I keep going?
So where I want to go with this, I should have put Tucker Kraft with the Jordan Love one. Mm-hmm. I'm going to bring him up. 7 for 143 and 2 touchdowns. He's on tight end day. That's nice for him. I'm going to kind of push him off, I think, on honorable mentions and just leave Jordan Love there. I do want to mention Myles Garrett. We both talked about it on Sunday when it was happening. 5 sacks.
Oh, my God.
He's absolutely an incredible player. However, for the exact same franchise, on opposite ends of the line, it just feels like Joe Thomas's career. Best at his position, outside of maybe a few guys in the same stratosphere, and it's going to kind of be for naught. At least Myles Garrett, though, has been a part of some playoff wins for Cleveland and a part of some hyped-up years. But, man, 5 sacks, and they're basically not even in the contest against New England.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter.
So I don't feel bad because like he went and asked for a trade and then accepted that contract, and now he's mad that they're not good. And like, dude, you literally signed up for this. So sure. I'm going to go to college football for my last honorable mention. I'm going to Texas A&M, number 3 Texas A&M, Marcel Reed.
Yeah.
202 yards passing, 2 touchdowns, 108 yards rushing, 2 touchdowns against then number 20 LSU, and it ultimately gets Brian Kelly canned.
A lot of big openings up in college, man. A lot of big openings. That Penn should State, be a Arkansas, big LSU, Florida.
Yeah.
That's Virginia Tech, I haven't even mentioned there. I mean,
that's a huge job opening.
It's a huge job opening. Might be the biggest one. I think it's all going to start, though, with if Lane Kiffin decides to stay at Ole Miss or not.
But I have a vested interest here in number 3 Texas A&M and what they're able to do.
Yeah.
Especially through the playoff. So, oh, yeah. I can see why you're a little more.
Sadly, so do I.
A different perspective on that. But yeah, no, Marcel Reed, going to wrap up my honorable mentions.
And then for me, Jonathan Taylor. I've mentioned it a lot. I think he's the runaway favorite for Offensive Player of the Year. I really don't even care what the odds have to say on that. He's playing out of his skull right now. Another 153 on the ground and 3 total touchdowns. He is a wagon.
MVP running, but running backs apparently are not allowed.
I think he might, though. There's no quarterback really taking the baton. No one's really running away with it.
Man, Mahomes.
Mahomes, maybe, but Baker Mayfield was the guy that was getting a lot of talk. Jordan Love, maybe, especially if the Packers do get the one
Drake
seed.
May should also
Drake
be
Drake May
there.
Maybe should, but with how good Indy is, and they might be the one seed, I mean, it's the thing. He might go for 2,000 yards and 29 touchdowns. That would be a better season than Saquon Barkley had, and we had people genuinely clamoring for that. It ultimately didn't mean much, but people were clamoring for that. He only winds up with 15 rushing touchdowns.
All right, well, shall I get to number 5?
Number 5.
All right, I'm calling a slight audible. I'm swapping my 4 and 5 from what I sent you.
Okay.
Matias Samuelson.
Yeah.
That's right. Sabres defenseman Matias Samuelson, certified primetime player. Why? That 2 goals, I know plus minus is a flawed stat, but he's +4 against the Maple Leafs on Friday night. It was so fun to watch that game, especially because we were flipping back and forth. Mm-hmm. All of us hanging with Josh, and it was so fun, though. Seeing Matias Samuelson suddenly becoming the goal-scoring savant, to which then Tage Thompson the next night literally took it personal.
Yeah.
That Matias Samuelson was outscoring him. So, no, Matias Samuelson there, number 5 on my primetime players.
So, for me, I am going to college for number 5.
Okay.
And this is because I take assignments that are given to me very seriously. So, Sal Capaccio, if you're watching.
That's right.
North Texas quarterback Drew Mestemaker, 608 passing yards, 4 touchdowns, completing 75% of his passes against Charlotte over in the American Conference. Unbelievable performance. I know it's college. I know it's the American Conference. You don't just do that every day. Unbelievable. They are 7-1. They'll be playing the undefeated 7-0 Navy this weekend, Saturday at noon. And look, it's North Texas. He may not leave. He's I think, a redshirt sophomore or a true sophomore. This is going to be a guy to keep an eye on. He's already got 21 touchdowns, only 4 picks. and North Texas scores like the wind. He's a big part of it. 608 yards. This is also in part, I'm reading Seth Wickersham's American Kings book. And the fact that Norm Van Brocklin has the most passing yards in a game bothers me immensely.
I don't know whether to be impressed or scared with you that you're bringing in North Texas here for the primetime.
Yeah, baby. Drew Mestemaker.
We're digging in deep here.
Here we go.
I'm not digging in very deep. Number four for me is Devils center Jack Hughes. He scores his seventh and eighth goals on the year, which ties him for the lead in NHL in goals in an overtime win against Colorado. He's a reason the Devils have lost. He's one of the big reasons the Devils have lost one game so far this year and look like one of the best teams in the National Hockey League. So Jack Hughes there, number four.
Number four for me, James Cook.
Mm-hmm.
He has a career day, 216 and two touchdowns. He also does it with unbelievable efficiency, 19 carries.
Yeah.
We mentioned it. I mean, we're, of course, watching the game. He could have gone for more. This could have been a performance that's 260, 270 type yards if they really wanted to. And especially, too, the Bills at a certain point felt like they weren't even running different plays. It just was the pitch outs. They just yep. kept doing for Cook. He's become one of my favorite players to watch. Not even just on the Bills, in the NFL. He has got such a quick twitch. His movement is incredible. His balance is phenomenal. I know I complain a lot about the talent level for the Bills. James Cook is not a part of that. He is absolutely an elite player, and he's ascended to that level this year.
Zach, I'm just going to have you go to number three because my number three was James Cook. So I don't think we need to elaborate further on that one. So, Zach, just hit me up with your number three right now because we just got through your four, my three in James Cook.
I went with Shohei Ohtani at three. Ultimately, he has a better game than the guy I'm going to go with at number one. A little bit spoiler alert. But in his primetime performers, I go for the big moments. But Shohei Ohtani had a really kind of quiet postseason until his big breakout game. Now he's really picked it up. And last night, in an 18-inning game, was that as well. 4-for-4, two doubles, and two home runs in a game that needed all of that. It ends 6-5, and they needed everything from Ohtani.
I will mention a little bit more about that because he's a little higher on this list. Number two for me, Jordan Love. As you had him in the honorable mentions, I put him up higher because there is this whole thing of questions about Green Bay. How good are you really? You tied the Cowboys. You look a little ugly sometimes. You've lost to Cleveland. Jordan Love goes out there in prime time against the old Packers quarterback. And doesn't even make it as much of a contest. Again, 360 yards, three touchdowns in that win. In primetime, you mentioned the big moments. I do think that it's a statement win against a quarterback that wanted revenge a little bit with his first opportunity to have a crack at beating the Packers. Probably his only crack at it. He will not be like Tom Brady. He does not beat every NFL franchise. Jordan Love is the reason why.
All right. On to number two.
On to number two. What you got?
Austin Reeves, Lakers shooting guard.
Oh, the 51 points.
Not even just the 51 points. He follows that baby up the next night with 41. He's doing all of this without Luka Doncic. Austin Reeves, Lakers shooting guard. It's early in the season. There's been a lot of big numbers. Victor Wembanyama also could probably be on this list with how many points and blocks he's getting. But Austin Reeves, the Lakers are without Luka Doncic. LeBron James is also out. And Austin Reeves just goes out there and goes, I got it, baby. Don't kick your feet up, boo-boo. I got this. 51-41 in back-to-back games. Number two for me.
All right. Number one time. It's Ohtani. For the second straight week for me, it is Shohei Ohtani because you mentioned the two doubles, the two home runs going 4-for-4. He's also walked five times.
Yeah.
That is a command of respect. At that point, you're like, okay, he's 4-for-4. We got to walk him now. Like forever.
Forever.
We can't do this. And unfortunately, that respect and pitching around him is where you get to lesser worries around the rest of the lineup. Because, yeah, it's a solo shot, but you then have to take more into account what you're doing with Ohtani, and then you take less into account what your number one is there.
Hey, my number one, it really is all of the moment. It is Freddie Freeman. Again, in the World Series, he has a walk-off home run for his home crowd. But this one is also, and I've mentioned this a lot too, the romanticism about playoff baseball going deep into the night. I mean, they go 18 innings. They play two full games. They got to play again later tonight. And for him in the 18th inning, solo shot, home run, walk-off, let's all get out of here. It's not much better than that. I think that is the epitome of playoff baseball right there. I loved Ohtani's performance. And to be fair, if ultimately, and this is the worst part, because he winds up at 3 for me, but ultimately, if the game just ends with a walk-off single or what have you, I probably don't even have Freeman on this list. He's probably not even an honorable mention. It's not like he had this insane game that, you know, was capped off by this walk-off home run. But for me, it's that moment. It is the prime time performance. That's what you look for me at least.
Yes.
And so for me, number one, Freddie Freeman, the walk-off home run from last night.
Yeah. For me, Ohtani being there again is also because of the fact that, like,
that dude's unbelievable.
He's kind of stringing it all together right now, the dominance, and it's kind of worrisome. As the Jays supporter here, it's kind of concerning.
This has turned into, though, a great series. I know the Jays are down 2-1, but outside of game one, these games have been close. They've been last night was a battle. Teams trading leads. It was a battle, and then it goes into extra innings. It was fantastic.
But also, game one was supposed to be more or less the statement of, no, there's going to be a series here.
Yeah.
I think that was a statement more than anything of, like, no, this is not Dodgers in 4. And it could be Dodgers in 5 the way things are going for them. They're winning these tight games. But if the Jays can get one of them here in L.A., well, A, you have to in order to make it a longer series. But B, I think they're capable because they've been with L.A. every step of the way in the 2 losses.
Game 4 later tonight at 8 p.m. And I don't think anything has changed. So if true, on the bump tonight, Shohei Ohtani.
Right in time, right?
Shane Bieber for Toronto.
This is that annoying part coming back here, just saying. It's as if he just helped them incredulously yesterday for a big win, and now he's back and he's on the mound. Mm-hmm. Cool. Awesome. Love that.
Those are our primetime performers. They are up at our Twitter accounts as well. 803-0550, the number to call. We'll get back to some of that Bills conversation, also the Sabres as well. They are in action tonight and potentially could be a huge game for them at the start of the season. Game number 10 for the Sabres tonight, 6:45, 6 p.m. pregame. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, this is WGR.
Los Angeles. Jordan sends a fly ball to center field. Varsho's going back before the clock strikes.
I think he's right. I think it is a classic.
Way too much happened to me just now. There's a bit of a sensory overload, and I needed a reboot for a second.
About a minute before we came back, the company's Halloween parties today. There are two people, mystery people, no idea who they are, dressed up as a big dinosaur and a big cat.
Like the inflatable type costumes.
Yeah.
Running down the hallway.
Just running down the hallway.
I thought... Granted, I only caught it from the side of my eye, but it looked like one of them popped the bird, but that's not the case.
I mean, I was scared as hell when they were running back. I was like, oh, no.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I told you to chase them. And then Joe plays that clip, and it goes back to sadness. I had a lot to process within like 30 seconds time, and I'm not a fan of that.
Oh, I think Joe Buck's my right brain, on that, though. I mean, it is a classic. 7-hour game, is that right? Oh,
close
man.
To it. My brain's too smooth, though, to process everything that happened that quickly. So, like, you know how, like, there's that Windows sound?
Mm-hmm.
That happened to me.
It happened to you?
Yeah, that happened to me while that highlight was playing, and I'm like, all right, this is too much.
Oh, game 4 tonight. Can you imagine? Like, this is part of the romanticism of it.
Yes.
Like, I watch a lot of documentaries on that 04 Boston Red Sox and New York Yankees ALCS. Like, I find that to be one of the most fascinating things in sports and one of the most, you know, constantly interesting in different ways. To be fair, I got to find a Yankees documentary on it. I know there's one out there. I've just got to watch it because I always watch the Boston side of things. But that was always a big part of it too, is like they'd wrap up a game at 2 in the morning or 1 in the morning. You're back at it later that night. I mean, what even is that?
And that is... But the sadness can turn real quick there because all of a sudden you win tonight. It's a 2-2 series.
It's a 2-2 series, and you stole one from L.A.
And anything can happen.
Yeah, now anything can happen.
The Jays have also...
So cool.
We talked with Pat Malacaro about this. The Jays have also fought themselves out of a corner before. This seems like one of them.
This is certainly a corner.
You don't want to go down 3-1. As a matter of fact, against LA, can't. This is a corner. And the Blue Jays, all throughout the season, have fought their way out of those. Congratulations. You're backed into one. Get yourself out of it.
Game four tonight, 8 o'clock. Looks like Shohei Ohtani. I don't think anything's changed. I haven't seen anything yet.
I think it's confirmed Shane Bieber on the mound for the Blue Jays, Ohtani for the Dodgers.
Giddy up.
Unless it's pretty much Ohtani. He got walked after the fourth hit. He's fine.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah.
He didn't have to do anything.
Yeah.
After that. He's good.
803-0550, the number to call. Let's get back to the phones. Max is with us next. Max, how we doing, man?
Hey, great. How are you guys?
Doing well.
We're hanging.
Great. All right. Hey, I was wondering if you'd indulge me in a little exercise, getting back to the Bills receivers. I just think they're so pedestrian. I was thinking if all receivers across the league are healthy and you could take our top three receivers and swap them with any top three receivers, any top three of another team, how many teams are you saying, no, we're good? I can't think of five teams that I would say I would rather have ours than yours. So just wondering what your thoughts are, if you guys can think of better situations.
Yeah. No, yeah, Max, thanks for the call. I think this is interesting.
Okay, so it's more or less about like the depth charts.
We just had this conversation too about the Sabres center depth. and we were like, Boston.
Which was hilarious. I bring up Boston, and then they traded Pavel Zacha since that call. Boston certainly cemented themselves as having the worst center depth in the National Hockey League, and then they made it worse.
All right, so
this would be, I guess, the equivalent to that would be if the Bills went ahead and traded away Khalil Shakir.
So you're saying they're 32nd?
Well, like basically, I don't know.
See, I got the standings up. Tennessee, I think, is worse.
Yes.
They've got...
And that's Tennessee trades Calvin Ridley. That's what Boston did.
Right. Like, Tennessee's worse. If Calvin Ridley's gone, it might be one of the worst we've ever seen. I would then... Cleveland is interesting. They can't score, but I really like Jerry Jeudy from last year. Isaiah Bond is a very curious rookie with all of the elite traits that he has. Are we counting tight end rooms? Because if we are, that one's pretty darn good.
Tight ends are tight ends. They are not receivers.
Tight ends are tight ends. Cedric Tillman, not bad.
I don't love the room right now for the San Francisco 49ers, but
right,
that's because
hurt,
of injury.
More hurt. New York Jets. Because
Max's call does predicate on health.
Health. Everyone is healthy.
Everyone's healthy. But even then, like, it's Ayuk and then Pearsall.
It's Ayuk, Pearsall, Juwan Jennings.
Oh, yeah, Juwan Jennings.
If you want him, Kendrick Bourne. I mean, he did have an over 100-yard game against the Rams.
San Fran is becoming the team that is kind of giving the Bills less and less excuses when it comes to the injuries.
They've been doing this for a few years.
I don't know how much I really want to take in the stock of the quality of San Francisco's wide receiver room. They just play well because the Shanahan system dictates that it will happen.
What about Washington? It's kind of, it's McLaurin, Terry McLaurin and Debo Samuel, but Debo Samuel now is not.
He stepped up, though, when McLaurin was absent.
Right.
He's having himself a good season.
Rough night last night.
The Giants outside of Neighbors is suspect.
Yeah. Like, Wandell Robinson.
Wandell Robinson had an awesome touchdown against the Cowboys. He's still Wandell Robinson.
Yeah. Still Wandell Robinson. I think the Jets are a curious one here. Because remember, you're swapping them with the Bills. If the Bills had Garrett Wilson and then like Alan Lazard, Josh Reynolds, isn't that just the Diggs years? And they were really darn good in the Diggs years.
That's
Garrett Wilson's going over 1,000 yards with Fields and Rodgers throwing the ball and Wilson throwing the ball.
No, I'm saying that's just incredibly disrespectful to the remaining wide receivers of the Diggs years.
The final Diggs years.
I still think that's a little disrespectful to Gabe Davis, even though he was putting up donuts every other game during a stretch.
I don't know.
I'm not calling Gabe Davis Alan Lazard, dude.
I don't know.
I'm not calling Gabe Davis.
I think it's close.
I'm not calling Gabe Davis late stages Alan Lazard. That feels disrespectful.
That feels a little disrespectful.
Yeah. Like, I can't do that to myself, man. Yeah, so maybe the Jets are one of those. Like, yeah, you get Garrett Wilson, but you get a bunch of flotsam and jetsam that you're already working with.
Yeah.
Actually, it's worse.
It's worse. I think there's a few teams, but I think it's tough when you look at the wide receivers, because if I add in like a Dalton Kincaid, or like I mentioned with Cleveland, their tight end room, it's a little bit different conversation. Like, there is better talent there, you know, for the Bills as well. You do have a James Cook as an option, and to be fair, we're all still kind of waiting for him to be used more in the passing game. That could be something that really does help them out, really get into a rhythm.
It's something that could help them out. It is something that, and it's not James Cook, though, strictly, that I need more involved. It's Johnson and Davis, too. They have not used any of their running backs, and that, I do think, has something to do a little bit more with the quarterback, especially if you're hot. You need to make sure you're getting that ball out, and those guys need to win one-on-one battles.
I'd also say Las Vegas. I do want to mention that.
Oh, no.
If Jacoby Myers is my one, I'm in a bad spot.
Okay, ready? This is my ignorance about the Las Vegas Raiders. Who the hell is below Jacoby Myers on that team?
That is a wonderful question, Derek, and we're going to go to that.
We're going
to
learn this together right now.
Trey Tucker actually leads them in receptions, or well, it's a tie with him and Jacoby Myers.
Okay, and Trey Tucker is more known for having one incredible game.
Yes.
This season than anything else.
Yes.
That's
kind of it. After that,
oh my God,
get...
their third wide receiver on the depth chart has 94 receiving yards. Yeah, Raiders are one of those teams, Max, on your call,
Deonta
that I
Thornton.
Do not want.
Deonta Thornton, though, rookie out of Tennessee.
He has 5 catches, dog!
No, the only reason I know him is there was a caller during the draft season that called in the Shelton Bulldog and was for sure on this guy. For sure on him.
Jack Besh has 73 yards on 7 catches. Okay.
This has been a really nice exercise.
No, it hasn't.
Yeah, to be fair, the teams that have worse receiver rooms than the Bills are
they're not good.
They're bad. They're bad.
They just also, in addition, probably don't have good quarterbacks either.
Yeah, quarterbacking is kind of important. Kind of important.
I'm in hell about this position. I'm in hell.
This has been a really good
I'm actually exercise. Standing in hell, and it's wide receiver hell. It's not the wide receiver train anymore. I'm in wide receiver hell. Because no matter what, we end up hearing about it, we end up talking about it. And I kind of want to just like plug my ears and go la 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 and ignore it. But the problem is it can't be ignored. Because the Bills, every time that they play, are starting to bore me on offense. Or they're just bad with the passing game in certain games based on the context. So I can't escape it. Thank the heavens that the Buffalo Sabres are playing entertaining hockey right now. Because if they went and did the same thing that they usually do,
oof,
then I really can't escape it.
I'd be really building up. I'm being serious. I'd be really building up UB men's basketball only losing by 10 to Syracuse in an exhibition.
I would be trying to shovel two of those Tage Parms in my mouth out of depressive eating. Basically is where I'd be getting at
oof.
If I could not escape it. And yet here we are still talking about wide receiver because... But hey, we got a general manager that took a victory tour about how they scored 30 points a game last year. And we keep complaining about wide receiver. And yet, here we are in week 9 still complaining about bleeping wide receiver.
Well, this year they're only scoring 29.5 points per game, so.
I was going to do that thing, Joe.
This is my Sisyphus. I'm pushing the boulder up the hill. The boulder is the wide receiver conversations, and I'm sick of it. I kind of just want to get run over by the boulder at this point.
Nah, dude, you're going to learn about Jordan Tyson.
You ever watch MXC seeing that Kenny Blankenship like getting run over by the boulder? That's me. Embrace the boulder at this point. Let it run me over.
Zachariah Branch.
I'm getting sick of this, and yet I can never escape it. And it just...
Can I interest you in Eric Singleton Jr.?
I don't know what the hell you're saying, and I do not care.
803-0550, the number to call. Sabres in action tonight, 6:45 puck drop, 6 p.m. pregame right here on WGR. Sabres Live will be coming up at the top of the hour to help you get ready for that. We do have some news, though, from practice, and we'll get to that when we come back. You're listening to WGR.
But the thing that I would worry about more so in Washington is the other day I text Andy Reid. And I got a text back, and I thought it was Andy Reid, but it was some guy selling pigs. But I sounded good. I shouldn't have told y'all that, so y'all would have thought I actually talked to Andy Reid, but I didn't really talk to Andy Reid.
I wish you could see the people behind the cameras.
Terry Bradshaw from Sunday on his pregame show. I don't know. Did you see this on Sunday when it was happening.
No.
I watched it much later on in the day. Like, I was home from work the whole thing.
We had to be here. We were working.
Oh, I know. But I'd seen people tweeting about it. I'm like, I've got to watch this. I've got to watch. I bookmarked it on Twitter and I went home. I watched it later that night. Hysterical. And my favorite tweet that I saw from somebody, I don't know who they were, it was a random tweet, was these shows are not meant to be watched. They are meant to be listened to in the background while you're getting snacks. And that clip is the epitome of that. Bradshaw's mentioning he's talking to Andy Reid. Didn't really talk to Andy Reid. Talked to a guy selling pigs.
That turns into I'm watching.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry.
It's like captivating.
That's incorrect. In that moment, that's the wrong way to use that context. No, that turns into, okay, I'm watching.
I think it does depend on who you are, because there are going to be people that are like, I can't do this. There are other people. That's captivating television.
Yeah, no, like that's where I'm okay. I'm actually in.
Also, Michael Strahan's face in that. If you can find the video, the cut to Strahan looking absolutely gobsmacked is hysterical.
You were background noise. You are now being actively listened to, and watched.
And watched
like that. I'm now an active watcher at that point.
Oh,
if I heard that,
man.
I'm sorry. Like what? I'm not going to lie to you. Joe, I was expecting that to be an attack on me when you started the Curb music there. I'm like, oh, great. What's this going to be about? Because I'm just in hell, and I just tweeted a picture of a boulder.
It's Terry Bradshaw.
No, it's Terry Bradshaw with a wild story. And I think there needs to be more of that in life, really. Like, in what we do, we should be vulnerable with some of our moments in life. Because they can be candid and funny as hell.
Just texting pig salesmen, you know?
That's it.
That's all you gotta do.
Key. That's the key to life right there.
But, like, I have questions. Why? Is my first one.
No. The moment you get an answer to that, it's going to be less interesting.
No. Because depending on the answer, it could be more interesting. Why are you texting? Why is there a pig farmer texting you? How did you find out he was a pig farmer?
Exactly. Everything you're building up in your head is so much better.
Why was he Andy Reid your phone?
Everything you're here, like you're doing in your head, is better than the actual answer. So good.
But that's the thing. Depending on the answer, it could get better.
It could. I like the mystery. I like the mystery. It's so good. Sabres.
Did he ignore actual Andy Reid because he wasn't saved in his phone as Andy Reid?
Maybe. That feels like a very Bradshaw thing to do.
See, I'm like now I'm actively engaged. I'm actively involved. I'm in 1,000%. Let me hear what you got, Tear Bear.
You can send fan mail to Terry and be like, I have questions.
I need to make sure that I am calling exclusively about this.
Oh, man.
I'm going to write up a letter. It's going to be like professional font and everything, signed at the bottom, making sure that I figure out, Terry, what's going on here, dog?
I have questions.
I need to know.
Sabres in action tonight, 6:45 start time. 6 p.m. pregame, both, of course, going to be right here on WGR. The entire league is in action, game starting at 6 and going all the way till start times at 11. And some good news for the Sabres tonight. It was hinted at yesterday, and it does appear to be absolutely true. Our own Paul Hamilton tweeting about an hour ago that Kesselring making his debut tonight. Lindy Ruff says he is good to go. That's all they want to check to make sure he was good tonight. And here we go. I mean, now, Derek, on this.
Speaking of things that aren't run me over with a boulder. Yeah,
but on this, though. The Sabres were already getting really darn good returns from the J.J. Paterka trade in Josh Doan.
Right.
To many people, Kesselring is the big piece.
Not even to many people. To pretty much everyone.
To pretty much everybody. Like, Doan was fun. If you knew who he was, it was like, okay, this is cool. It's not just Shane Doan's kid. This is, like, actually a good player.
There's one person that made sure it was a requirement, and that's the guy who made the trade. And again, I'm willing to walk it back if it's already giving me promising returns without the core piece having played a single game with the Sabres yet.
And so Kesselring will be in the lineup tonight. Also, looks like Alex Lyon going to go back into the starter's net. Really?
I was a little perplexed over how they handled the goalie situation, like calling up Lukanen.
Yeah.
Even though Ellis was supposed to get the start, and then Lukanen has to play, obviously. But calling him up as early as you did also seemed a little bit like, hey, you're sure you're okay with only one game? So, because the thing is that Ellis ends up with back tightness all of a sudden. It's not something that just they knew about it already. Mm-hmm. No, they were projecting to give him the start.
Yeah, I think Colton Ellis did speak afterwards and did. Yeah, I picked up an issue.
Yeah.
Couldn't go.
So that still tells me that the Sabres were comfortable with UPL having one game in a conditioning stint. Don't love that. Not a good plan.
And it doesn't help either, his performance on Saturday. is probably the worst performance in a goalie the Sabres have had all year.
And that's a high bar.
All year. It's oddly game 10 enough. Tonight.
Yeah. But that's the thing. It's a high bar through those 9 games. What Lyon and Ellis did for you were fantastic. Lyon has played 8 of the games. He's been great. Ellis plays 1 game. But he did something that UPL has yet to do really throughout his career. Make the big save. And I mean make that save. Like, there are times where you need to have that turnaround moment, and I remember 2 of them in particular. Ellis makes a save, and the Sabres go ahead, they turn it around, and they score a goal to help put the game away. And then, of course, there is Toronto in Buffalo. Lyon makes a save, shorthanded. Incredible cross-crease save.
Mm-hmm.
And Owen Power takes the puck down the ice on his last legs. Perfect saucer tuck. Game's over. Colton Ellis stopped several breakaways, including one on Dylan Larkin. And the first partial breakaway that I see UPL face, it's a goal.
Yeah.
It's tough. It's tough. But hopefully the Sabres are able to play well again tonight against Columbus. If things shake out well, the Sabres are back in a playoff spot. Stop the count.
It's going to be tough, though, with the entire league playing. But it does point to some pretty good signs with the start of the year. Through 10 games, if you're flirting with a playoff spot right there.
Here's your 3-game formula.
Yeah.
Florida loses, Ottawa loses, Buffalo wins. Done.
Easiest pie.
Everyone's playing, but there's 3 games to look at.
Easiest pie. There you go. That'll do it for me and Derek. We'll be back on tomorrow from 10 to 12. But coming up for more on the Sabres, Sabres Live. You're listening to WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Ring Business puts you in control with protection that's flexible, secure, and easy to set up. No long-term contracts required, just security on your terms. Take control of your business security with Ring Business. Get 24/7 audio video recording to capture everything and look for specific moments efficiently with smart AI search. Install it easily yourself or let our pros do it for you. With Ring keeping your business secure, you can focus on what matters most. Running it. Compatible subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. Visit the Ring business page on r.com for more information.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them, and you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
This podcast is brought to you by Kleenex Lotion Tissues. You can't predict sick days, but with Kleenex Lotion Tissues, you can be better prepared for them while helping keep your skin healthy. Whether it's a surprise sneeze or a stuffy nose, it's always good to have something gentle on hand. Kleenex Lotion Tissues moisturize to help prevent skin irritation while you're battling those unwanted cold and flu symptoms. It's extra care when you need it most. I mean, why not have one less thing to worry about when you're not feeling your best? For whatever happens next, grab Kleenex.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.